Now, Father, we need you this morning in order to meet the needs of the people here who sit and wait. Speak to our hearts, give us a truth that will help us and fill us and strengthen us and feed us. Amen. Normally in a sermon, I take less than 5 minutes for the introduction and then a couple of hours for the main body and then repeat the closing 3 times. This morning, I'm going to do something a bit unusual. The introduction of my sermon will be most of the sermon. I'm going to take probably 20 minutes or so for the introduction, and then just take a few minutes to apply the truth at the end. I want to speak this morning, and this is very appropriate. I want to speak on the resurrection of the dead. I could speak also on healing the dumb, but I want to speak on the resurrection of the dead. Nothing is ever destroyed. Of course, anybody that's ever taken a basic science course, you know that no matter is ever destroyed. And the truth is, nothing is ever destroyed. That which disappears in one form always appears in another form. I'm not speaking this morning on coming back from the dead and reincarnation. But actually, there's nothing is ever destroyed. It only reappears in some other form. For example, you can burn the log, but you can't destroy the log. The log becomes ashes. You have not destroyed the log. You have simply changed the appearance of the same ingredients. For example, you can evaporate water, but you don't destroy the water. It's still H2O, even though it's in a different form. Consequently, that which appears in one form reappears in another form, and nothing is is ever destroyed. There's life in death. That's what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, except a corn of wheat die and fall on the ground, it abideth alone. Of course, he was talking about his coming death and burial and resurrection. But that is a truth that he's using as an analogy, and taking even away his coming death, burial, and resurrection. It's still a truth. There's life in death, and except a corn of wheat die and falleth in the ground, it abideth alone. It is the death of life that gives life. For example, in the autumn time, death seems to have conquered. The flowers fade, the leaves fall, the grass withers, yet the buried seed germinates and comes back in a new form in the springtime. Take an illustration. I have this morning a cotton shirt. I wear the same kind of shirts all the time. And I wear Clark Kent. Is that what I wear? But anyway, I wear an Arrow Kent shirt all the time. Mostly cotton. Has some, Dacron? Not Dacron. Polyester in it. But this cotton shirt came because something died. Death. The cotton from which this the shirt came changed its form. But from the death of that cotton came this cotton shirt. You take this pulpit. This pulpit was once a tree in the woods, but it was cut down. It's not a tree anymore, but it's not dead. The tree comes back in a different form of life, which is this pulpit. You take these shoes that I have on. These shoes were caused by the doctrine of something dying for me, the vicarious death of an animal in order for me to wear these shoes. I'm simply saying that life comes from death, and the death of life is what really gives life. Take even, and I hate to even bring this up, but even human refuse gives life. It gives life to the soil, which gives life to the seed, which gives life to the plant, which gives life to the food, which gives life to the body. So the death is what brings forth eventual life. Now let me give you a few illustrations as I continue to introduce the sermon and then take 4, 5, 10 minutes to preach it. No word, they say, is ever destroyed. No word. Every word that I'm saying right now is here to stay. They say that someday, and they don't think it'll be very far away, they say that someday they'll be able to take the rocks that are in Jerusalem, Take, for example, the rocks there on the Mount of Olives where our Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Neath the stars of the night walked the Savior of light. In a garden of dew-laden breeze, not my will but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees went the Savior alone on his knees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees. Well, the very rocks on which Jesus prayed have recorded the words he prayed. Wouldn't you love to hear the prayer he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? You will someday. You'll hear his very voice pray that prayer someday. They say that we're not far from inventing some kind of machines that can play those rocks back and the very voice of Jesus can be heard. I'm saying that no word you ever have said has been destroyed. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. In some cases, oh, be careful, whopper tongue, what you say. But be careful, big mouth. But anyway, every word you've ever said. That's why it says in the Bible, it said, if you could get by with what you've done, even the rocks will cry out in the day of judgment. What does that mean? That means in the day of judgment, God is going to take the rocks that have recorded your voice, what you said. This pulpit, maybe, is recording my sermon this morning. And maybe, of course, this microphone is recording it. It really is. But it may be that the metal on this microphone is recording my message this morning. They say no word is ever destroyed. I mean, no word is ever destroyed. They say, for example, that no scene is ever destroyed. Do you know, and you really are going to think I'm crazy now, do you know, I think you're crazy too, by the way, but do you know that there are all kinds of pictures floating around in this room right now? See that one up? Anyway, there are all kinds of pictures floating around in this room right now. Look carefully, folks. Look. Now, we found through the medium of television that those pictures, with certain mechanics and electronics, can be harnessed, and we can see those pictures. So, consequently, they also say this. They say that in our generation, probably, at least to you young folks, generation, they say they'll have a camera that can take a picture of you after you're gone from a place. That certain heat vibrations or something, with a Colson, for example, take a wide-angle camera. But they say if he left this place this morning and left, and for quite some time, you could come back and take a picture of that empty seat. It's almost empty now, but take a picture of that empty seat, and you could take a picture of Brother Colson because certain things would be left there from his presence. So what am I saying? I'm saying that a word once said is never destroyed. I'm saying a scene is never destroyed. And not only that, a thought is never destroyed. The thought is still in there someplace. Everything that you've ever thought is stored down here in this human computer somewhere. That's why sometimes you'll think of the strangest things all of a sudden. This morning I was teaching my class, and I thought of Mrs. Thompson, my music teacher, and how she put me in the Lisbon band, would let me sing. And what a blessing this world has missed because I did not get to sing. But I thought about that. You see, there's certain, not like a computer. You push a certain button on a computer, and a certain thing that's stored in that computer flashes out on that screen. That's the wonderful thing about preaching, for example. You ask the Lord, Lord, help me as I preach this morning. Help me to know what to say. Give me the words to say. And as you preach, the Lord allows certain things to flash across your mind that helps you. So I'm saying that nothing is ever destroyed. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat die and fall on the ground, it abideth alone. If it dies and falls on the ground, then it will rise again. So death is the necessary operation that brings forth life. Death of life is that which brings forth life. I said no word is ever destroyed. I said no scene is ever destroyed. I said no thought is ever destroyed. Who was it? Was it Emerson or Tennyson or was it Hiles who wrote, "Truth crushed to earth shall rise again"? I'm simply saying that you can crush truth, but it'll rise again. There is no such thing as the destruction of any object. A word once said is always said. That's one reason why that at the judgment seat, it'll be no big problem to find out what you do, what we deserve, the rewards we deserve. At the great white throne judgment, it'll be no problem to find out all the wicked deeds that the unsaved folks have done. Aren't you? By the way, that's what it means when it says our sins are covered. You know, when you got saved, God erased your tape. Hey, that makes me want to shout. God erased your tape. Boy, that's good for some of you guys over here, I'll guarantee you. That's what it means. It says, see, our sins have been erased. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can erase that tape. But every word that's ever been said, it's always said. Every sin is always a sin. No word is ever destroyed. No sin is ever destroyed. No thought is ever destroyed. How then, now you tell me, answer me this. How then, if you cannot destroy a piece of wood, you're going to change its appearance. If you can't destroy a thought, if you can't destroy a word, if you can't destroy a scene, pray tell me, why would God, in His greatest creation, which is man, make something that's destructible? The logic here is that you cannot destroy man. Man cannot be destroyed. Man was not born to die. Man was born to live forever. So, I'm simply saying that man lives forever. You say, Brother House, I just believe that when a man dies, he dies. Well, you're probably wrong on other things, too. Nothing is ever destroyed. No, you believe all you want to believe, and you're hoping that it's true. But the honest, simple truth is, God's greatest, ultimate, highest, loftiest creation was man. Now, if everything else that God makes is indestructible, why would not God's greatest creation be indestructible? Would an artist paint his masterpiece, and as soon as it's finished, destroy it? Would a sculptor carve his masterpiece, and as soon as it's finished, grind it to powder? Would an author write his masterpiece, and as soon as it's finished, destroy it or burn it? Would a student earn his M.D., and all of a sudden he's ready to start his medical practice, and then decide that's all he wants to do? Would a soldier finish West Point and then retire? No. You see, just as the artist paints his masterpiece for its future enjoyment, and a sculptor carves his masterpiece for its future enjoyment, I, God's masterpiece, you're not so bad yourself, but I, God's masterpiece, you think God's going to teach me all I know and then let me die someday and not even use it? You think God's going to raise us and spend a whole lifetime training us and teaching us and educating us, and then one of these days I'll die, my body's dead, my soul's dead, my spirit's dead, 10,000 times? No, you cannot destroy this body. It'll come forth in another form. You can't destroy it. You can't destroy wood. You can burn it. It'll just change its form. You can't destroy this body. This body is here forever. That which is sown in weakness shall be raised in power. That which is sown in corruption shall be raised in incorruption. That which is sown in sin shall be raised in holiness. And the body you see is here forever. But not only that, the soul is also here forever. And the spirit is here forever. I'm saying you cannot destroy matter. You cannot destroy words. You cannot destroy scenes. You cannot destroy thoughts. You cannot destroy man. Now that means this. You are going to live somewhere forever. You are going to walk the streets of gold and live in heaven forever, or you're going to burn in hell forever. Well, you say, what's bad about that? I go to hell, burn up. You can't destroy matter. You won't burn up in hell. You can't destroy. That's a scientific impossibility. Consequently, man lives forever. Now, here, all of that was introduction. We come to the sermon. Let me piece the introduction together again. You cannot destroy a word. You cannot destroy a thought. You cannot destroy matter. You cannot destroy a scene. You cannot destroy man. Now, here's the message. Now, everything that disappears. Hear me now. Everything that disappears reappears in another form. Now, follow me. Have you had a dream that's been destroyed? Have you had some dream that you think's been destroyed? That dream hasn't been destroyed. That dream is still there. You can enter it into another form. A dream is a dream. It'll never be destroyed. Have you had some hopes that have been destroyed? Have you had a hope that's been destroyed? No, it's not been destroyed. Oh, you say, all my dreams are destroyed. Oh, no, they're not destroyed. Nothing is ever destroyed. Now, that hope that you had may have to enter some other area of your life. For example, when my father left us, my mother's hopes were destroyed of ever having a loving husband. Totally destroyed. But the hope was not destroyed. That same hope that mother had placed in my daddy, she placed in her son. Now let's suppose she said, and that's why suicide is so foolish. And that's why lamentation is so foolish. And that's why despair is so foolish. You folks that have had, you say, oh, Brother Hiles, I've had a hope destroyed. Oh, you haven't either. The hope is still there. Now, you take that hope and put it in some other area. I wouldn't be preaching right now if my mother had not looked and found the hope. Truth crushed to earth shall rise again. A hope crushed to earth shall rise again. A dream crushed to earth shall rise again. I'm talking this morning to people who've been through some awful things in your life. And it just seemed like there was a time when everything died. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, death is not the end. Death is the change. The Bible said we shall all be changed. What does that mean? It means that we will not die. Nothing ever dies. That dream that you had still lingers. Now what you ought to do is take that same dream and place it in some other form. If the form in which it was has been destroyed, or no longer is possible, then you put that dream somewhere else. Have you lost? How about your plans? Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, my plans have been destroyed. No, your plans haven't been destroyed. You take those same plans you had. I was thinking about my sister this morning, one of my worst moments, and I was thinking about my sister. I was thinking about one night her husband didn't come home. She did not know one thing was wrong. All of a sudden, one night he didn't come home. Didn't come home the next night. He's never been home since. Now, what did she do? I flew down to Texas. I spent the whole night with her. And I said, Earlene, everything is not lost. Everything is not destroyed. I said, make you alive. I said, go to some college somewhere. She said, I'm 45 years old. I'm too old to go to college. No, you're not too old to go to college. We sat out in the front yard all night long of my mother's house, and we talked about it on Margarita Street in Garland, Texas. We talked about it, and she took the hope that she had had for the dream she had had with her husband, and she took that hope, and she replanted. She went to college. She learned secretarial work. She became a church secretary. She came to this area, and now for years she's been the bursar at Hiles Anderson College. And a valuable part. Why? Because you can't destroy hope. You can't destroy anything. You can't destroy a dream unless you don't look for it and find it. So that hope that you had for something, if that which you hope has crumbled, the hope is still there. The hope is not in that which is crumbled. The hope is in you. And the plan is not in that which you had planned. The plan is in you. You say, I've lost courage. Your courage. Courage can't be destroyed. You take that courage and place it somewhere else. You say, Brother Hiles, I've lost. My dreams are dead. You can't lose a dream. You can change a dream. Look, a dreamer's going to dream. And you don't dream because of what you dream. You dream because you're a dreamer. So I'm saying this morning, there's some people here awful low this morning. Burdens and heartaches and problems fill this room. And you say, oh, my plans have been crushed. No, your plans haven't been crushed. What you plan to do has been crushed. But if you're a planner, it'll never be crushed. You plan something else. But you say, my dreams have been crushed. No, your dreams haven't been crushed. What you dream may have been crushed, but your dreams have not been crushed. Grab your dream and dream something else. Use that which is dead
to make something else live.
Now, I've lost my faith. No, you haven't lost your faith. My faith is dead. No, you haven't. Your faith, faith doesn't die. Now, that in which you had your faith may have died, but the faith is still there. Put your faith in something else. Well, I'll never trust anybody again. Oh, not me, buddy. Well, I've just lost faith in everybody. Not me. One person disappoints me, I'll grab that same faith and put it in somebody else. Yeah, one person hurts me, I'll grab that same faith I had in him, put it in somebody else. I'm simply saying, you cannot destroy faith, you cannot destroy hope, you cannot destroy a dream, you cannot destroy a plan. Why? Because the dream is the object of the dreamer, and the hope is the object of the hoper. And so this morning, if you say it over the house, the thing I'd hope for will never come to pass, and I can't, okay, but that hope's still there. Pick it up. Hope for something else. I was at Bill Rice Ranch a few days ago preaching, and I relived in my mind the story, that amazing story of Bill and Kathy Rice. Over here in Wheaton, Illinois, Dr. Bill was an evangelist, and I lived in Wheaton, Illinois, and they had a little girl named Betty. Sweet little girl, cute little girl. But they noticed as Betty got older that she wasn't responding to them when they spoke to her. And they would say something, she wouldn't respond at all. And they'd give all kinds, different kinds of noises, and she made no response. And they realized that she couldn't hear well. And they took her to every doctor they could find and had every test taken they could have. And finally the word came, is nothing can be done. Your daughter's deaf. She'll always be deaf. Now, the hope that they would have a daughter who could hear was killed. But the hope wasn't killed. The hearing daughter, the object of the hope, what'd they do? They hurt for a while, and then they took that same hope and they placed that hope in a ministry that has affected the entire world. They went down and got 1,000 acres or so near Murfreesboro, Tennessee, the foothills are near foothills of some mountains, and Kathy Rice, God bless her, the daughter of a millionaire, and Dr. Bill, and 4 children, lived in a little 2-room house without any windows, just kind you open up and prop open with a stick. They were in that little 2-room house for 2 years, and then they sacrificed and did without and built the Bill Rice Ranch, and every summer now, deaf people come from all over the world, and they that could not have heard the gospel now hear the gospel, and they that could not have been saved now get saved. And the very deaf ministry we have here, and ministries like this all over the world, came from what? Came because you can't destroy all. Wish I could reach out this morning and grab you, dear friends, who've given up hope. Listen, your hope is there. It may be that you can't hope for what you used to could hope for, but you still got the hope. So pick it up, apply it to something. It may be you don't have the faith that you could not have the object of the faith you once could have had, and the object may be changed, but the faith is still there. Pick it up. They came in my life of my ministry when I thought it was gone, totally gone. I went to my study one morning, and I thought it was all over. I thought everything was gone, and I'd never have a ministry. I went to my study realizing probably I'd never be a preacher anymore because the nomination that I could no longer support had voted me out, and I could not cooperate with their liberal tendencies and so forth. And I decided not to stay in and try to change it. The Bible doesn't say change the unclean thing. It says don't touch the unclean thing. And I decided I could not give one red cent to any school that didn't believe this Bible. I'm not going to support murder while it's killing folks, while I'm trying to get him quit killing. So I thought it was all over. I was upset that the Jim Lyons is my assistant pastor. The darkest day of my life. You know what that rascal did? Went out and played golf. I called his wife. I said, "Where's Jim? He ought to be down here crying with me." She said, "He's playing golf." I knew where he played. I went out to Tennyson Park, got on the golf course, took him, found him, and I said, "Get off this course. Come over here and cry with me." But I went back to my office. And Brother Lester Roloff called me. You've heard me say it many times. We used to call each other every Monday morning. We're young preachers. And we don't call anymore. I called him. He hadn't called me in a long time. But we used to call each other every Monday morning and talk about the day. And I was sitting there in my study, and I was at the bottom, absolutely at the bottom. And And you've heard me tell it. Brother Lester called. I picked up the phone. I said, hello. He said, Brother Jack. I said, yes. He said, this is Lester. I said, hi, Lester. He said, welcome to the fraternity of the free. I said, I thank you a lot. He said, Brother Jack, you're dead, ain't you? And I said, I'm dead. He said, Brother Jack, ain't nobody ever got resurrected that didn't first die. Are you dead this morning? You qualified for the resurrection. God wants to use that same hope. And I said, good night. I'm qualified to be raised from the dead. And I took that same dream that I had and transferred it to another object. And now for these many wonderful years, God has blessed this little preacher. Why? Because you can't destroy a dream. You can't destroy. You can burn the log, but it's not gone. You can evaporate the water, it's not gone. You can't take back a word, you can't take back a scene, you can't take back a thought. And bless God, take the hope you have. Something's crumbled. Take that hope, place it in some other area, and rise up to walk again. Take that same plans you had and put them in some other area. That's what makes life is death. You can take that songbook there. I'll guarantee you, you take that songbook there, 90% of the songs in that songbook there came from death. The death of a hope that rose again. The death of a plan that rose again. And many of these songs in this book right here have done more than the entire, all the plans that the writer could ever have had if they hadn't had their plans crushed to earth. You remember the story I've told so often about, I think her name was Hawks, Annie Hawks, I think it is. She was had a beautiful voice. And she was going to travel around the world on a concert tour, singing her voice to the glory of God, using her voice to the glory of God, singing for His praises. Her itinerary was already planned to go around the entire world singing. And one day, her dad got ill. Her dad became an invalid and nobody to take care of him but Annie. I think it was Annie Hawks. If I'm wrong on that name, forgive me. But nobody could take care of him but her. She went to the dark room and she said, dear God, I've got to stay home. I can't take my tour around the world. She sat down and she wrote. After thinking, she said, I can't go around the world. But then she said, I'll do this. I can brighten the one spot where I am. She picked up her pen and she wrote, brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from a harbor you may guide across the bar. You'll brighten the corner where you are. And though this little lady never went around the world to sing, her song has gone around the world and around the world and around the world and around the world. And my precious little mother put me on her knees. And when I was a boy, that's the song she sang me to sleep with every night. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from a harbor you may guide across the bar. You'll brighten the corner where you are. Have you had something for which you had dreamed to crush? The dream hasn't crushed. Dream something else. Have your fondest hopes and their object of your hopes vanished? The hope hasn't vanished. The object is what's vanished. Hope something else. Have your plans gone awry? Plan something else. Have your dreams been shattered on the pavement of providence? Dream something else. You can destroy the object of the dream, but you can't destroy the dream. You can destroy the object of the hope, but you can't destroy the hope. You can destroy the object of the plans, but you can't destroy the plans. Thank God this morning. Thank God this morning. Thank God. You cannot destroy anything. You cannot destroy a piece of wood. You cannot destroy a glass of water. You cannot destroy a word. You cannot destroy a scene. You cannot destroy a thought. But blessed be God. You can't destroy that that beats in my breast today. But he said, he asked me some questions Friday. He asked me who the president was, and I didn't know. I hope I didn't say Jesse Jackson. But the person that told me this said, Dr. Hiles, we ask you some Bible questions, and you answered all of them. Thank God. Heaven shall pass away. Earth shall pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This morning, if your hopes have been crushed, they haven't been crushed. Just a few plans. Just a few objects of your hopes. Grab your hope. Stick it in something else. It's right there beside you. Pick it up! Use it! The object of your plans gone awry. I wish I had time this morning to tell you stories about people in this room. I'm looking at a little lady I did a while ago, and I won't call her name. Had two precious children. Husband left her, ran off with somebody else. She came back to Hammond. We tried to put her life together. Now she's a wonderful mother. She's serving God in a full-time capacity. You can't destroy hopes. You can just destroy what you hoped. But you can hope again. You can dream again. You can plan again. You can have faith again. You can't destroy anything. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, there's something I'm offering you today that for in the name of Christ that you'll never destroy. You receive Christ in your life today by faith in His finished work of Calvary. Trust Him as your Savior. Something be born in here that'll never die. Never die. Why don't you trust Him this morning? Why don't you put your faith in Him who is eternal, in Him who lives forever? A long time after all the skyscrapers and civilizations of this world have been destroyed, Jesus shall still reign on His throne. Put your trust in Him this morning. You've thought about it often. There are times you've said, I ought to become a Christian, but you put it aside. Not this morning, don't put it aside. Put your faith in Christ. If you're here this morning, you've just trusted Christ, but have not been baptized since you got saved, we're going to sing, you walk down this aisle and let us tell you about baptism. We can baptize you this morning. The water's in the tank already. If you want to make this your church home, we invite you to come. Whatever your need is, that's exactly the extent of the invitation. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing, come to Christ.